Minister, the delegation from the department and delegation from South African Golf, as well as colleagues on the platform. The chairperson of the committee, Ms. Dulane, will not be joining us this morning. And therefore, according to Rule 158 of the National Rules of the National Assembly, we have the committee members have to elect an acting chairperson from one of the members. Members, can I now call for nominations of an acting chairperson? Ms. Malumane? Ms. Malumane?
I can always volunteer, Zuleika. Good morning. Any proposals from the members? Where's the members?
All support you, sir.
I recognize Ms. Malumane.
She write on the chat.
Ms. Malumane, can you hear me?
Mute. She can't mute. She write on the chat. Is there any other?
Okay. Can I then give Ms. Sibiya a chance?
Okay. Good morning. I would like to nominate the Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Ms. Bibia. Do we have a second up for Honorable Adams? Mr. Zondi?
Yes, Chair. I second Honorable Adams.
Thank you very much. Ms. Adams, do you accept the nomination?
Good morning, all. Yes, I accept the nomination.
Thank you very much. Are there any further nominations? Thank you, members. Ms. Adams is duly elected acting chairperson. Over to you, ma'am.
Good morning to all members. Please let me switch off my camera because the network is very poor. Good morning, members on the platform, the minister, deputy minister, our guests, and our staff members. As we are in our third term of parliament, let's do the right thing, as all of us has responsibilities towards our communities. Let's implement that need to be implemented. We have a community program to adhere to our entities who are on the platform and many other entities. You also have your programs. Let's work together in our communities to reach our goals. All of you are welcome in this meeting. I declare the meeting open. I will give now over to for introductions. Let me give the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture the opportunity to introduce the staff members of the department. Who's leading
Good
the
morning,
team?
Sir.
Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Zizi Kodwa, the Minister. I'm joined by the Deputy Minister. I will ask the acting DG to introduce the rest of the officials from the department. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister. Over to you, DDG.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. Morning, Minister, Deputy Minister, and the leadership of Golf RSA and officials who are in the meeting. Chairperson, let me first apologize. The Acting Director General had indicated that she will be slightly late in coming to this meeting. She is moving from one venue to another where she was in another meeting and she's quickly sitting up. So apologies for our ADG. I'm Sumaya Khan. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for Recreation Development and Sports Promotion. I'm in the meeting, Chairperson, with our officials from the department. And just to indicate who they are very quickly, Chairperson, we do have on the platform the a parliamentary officer in the office of the DG, Mr. Lodwick Ralevepi. We also have in the meeting, to find him quickly, we have the CFO, Mr. Israel Makwame. We also have in the meeting, Chairperson, I'm just looking for the officials who are here. I think they should be Mr. Sumpiwe Nube and Mr. Mfunde Mina. We should also have in the meeting Mr. Sibuyile Mutani, who is in the office of the Deputy Minister, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer. We also have Mr. Max Huzani, who is the Special Advisor to the Minister. And also Mr. Ray Nkwe, who is also a Special Advisor to the Minister. And we have Mr. Siyabonga Poswa, who is a Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Office of the Minister. Yeah, those are our officials that we can see, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sumaya. If anyone is left out by mistake from Ms. Sumaya, can they please introduce themselves? If not, we can go to the next one. Our members of the Portfolio Committee are also here. Can they please introduce themselves? My name is Rachel Adams from the Committee of Sports, Arts and Culture.
Good morning. I'm Tituzi Desbia, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, all. Dennis Joseph, member of the committee.
Morning, I'm Veronica van Dijk. I'm also a member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Eugene Mkhetho, member of the committee. Thank you.
We have on our platform member Malumane. I think she experienced network problems. And there is another member, maybe he will join later, member Mama Bolo. I didn't hear Mr. Muslongo. Is he on the platform? I can't see.
Yes, sir, I'm on the platform. I apologize. Thank you, Admit. Morning, colleagues. Morning, Minister and the DG.
Mr. Zondi?
Yes, sir. My name is Simon Zondi, one of the members of the committee, sir.
Thank you very much. We acknowledge Minister Lizzy Kotwa and also Deputy Minister Notawe Mafu. We will now give the opportunity to the leader of the South Africa Golf Association to introduce the team. I thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Honorable Minister Kodwe, delegates, Thank you for spending the time. This is our first opportunity to talk to the Portfolio Committee, and we're grateful for that. So I am the CEO of Golf RSA, which is the amalgamated body of the South African Golf Association and Women's Golf South Africa. Essentially, it's the federation of golf in the country. On the call with me, I have David Young, who heads up our junior tournaments and our elite programs. I have with us Clinton Logie, who's finance director for Golf RSA, as well as the SA Golf Development Board. Andre Rousseau is head of operations for the South African Golf Development Board. Mandla Mlangeni, who's one of our board members from the South African Golf Development Board and also a board member of the Sunshine Tour. And then I'd like to hand over quickly to Mr. Thomas Apt, who is CEO of the Sunshine Tour, the professional arm of golf in the country, to introduce his delegates as well. Thank you, Thomas.
Morning. Morning, everybody. Honourable Minister, thank you for the opportunity. Just to echo Grant's sentiment, it's a fantastic platform to sit here with you and go forward on this occasion. Part of my team this morning is Courtney DeBarris, head of our business development at the Sunshine Tour. As Grant alluded to, Mandla Marangeni, who sits on our board as well. Zuka Kubuleki, who sits on our board, is also joining. And as well as Bongi Makaba, who heads up the Joburg Open, the promoter of one of our biggest international golf tournaments in our country, who we have asked to join in this meeting as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We now have the introduction of all our members on the platform, including the entity of Golf Association. We know now that all members who are here are for one reason here, and that is for the meeting that I already declared open. I will give now the opportunity to the secretary to give us apologies if there is. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We did not receive any apologies for this meeting, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, and you already indicated the apology of the chairperson. The chairperson indicated that she have a bereavement. Let all of us think of her in this difficult times of the bereavement that she have. I did saw the hand of Masumaya. Are there anything?
Sorry, Chairperson. I think I did indicate that the EDG will be joining us shortly. And I did indicate she just had a delay with moving from a venue to another. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I saw the end of Minister Kotwa.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies for this short notice. It's something that just came in now. There's something I need to attend in and out at 11:30, but I'll rejoin the meeting in 20, 30 minutes time. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Then we can move to our agenda. The agenda is flagged on the screen. Members, Portfolio Committee on Sports, Arts and Culture, 19 September. It's at the agenda in front of us, as we already started from point one. Any proposals for adoption of the agenda?
Sure.
I see the hand of a member, Sabia.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm adopting the agenda as it is. Thanks, Chair.
The end of Member Zondi.
Seconded, Chair.
Thank you. The agenda is therefore agreed to. Our next point on the agenda is
briefing by the overview by Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. Over to you, Ms. Sumaya.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me ask Minister DM if they would like to say anything before I present. Minister DM? No, thank you. Thank you very much, Minister DM. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm reminded by the Secretariat that I didn't open my camera, so I'm just going to quickly show my face and then I'll put it off, Chairperson, as I start to present. Thank you. Chairperson, the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture presents. Sorry, Chairperson.
For the committee,
someone is disturbing us. Some P-way, please close your mic.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, Golf RSA has been invited, that's the first slide, by the Portfolio Committee to present on their 2023-2024 annual performance plan, progress made on the implementation of the Transformation Charter, and report on the Nedbank Golf Challenge. The department's presentation will detail support that has been provided to Golf RSA in the 2020-21 financial year and the 22-23 financial year. We will also highlight major events hosted and governance-related matters. In terms of the major events hosted is what the funding that the government, the department has given to Golf RSA that they've hosted. In terms of the governance matters, Chairperson, we know that Golf was not spared, the consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic. And as such, their most vulnerable employees or stakeholders were affected, and that is the caddies. We have worked with Golf RSA to provide support to those caddies through the Presidential Employment Stimulus Package. And I think that was quite a successful intervention from our part. The annual general meeting of Golf RSA in 2022 was hosted in Johannesburg. In this AGM, it was an elective AGM. They elected a president, a senior vice president, and a second vice president. And in the 2022-2023 financial year, they had an AGM in April 2023, and here they presented their annual, their presidential, and their audited financial statements. In terms of the financial support that the department provided to Golf RSA in 2020, in the financial year, we provided 2.734.75 4.20. And of this amount, 1.734.75 to 20 was allocated towards administration and 1 million rand for projects and programs. The programs that were supported were women's golf, disabled golf, capacity development, and specific capacity development programs such as web-based training. There was assistance given to disabled golf to manage and run their provincial programs, and assistance to previously disadvantaged individuals to receive coaching, to play in tournaments, nutrition at tournaments, travel and accommodation. The Federation submitted all the required quarterly reports. In the 2022-23 financial support that was provided, they've been allocated an amount of 2.250 million. Of this amount, there was no application towards administration. And Chairperson, just to indicate here, Golf RSA, they give us, we provide the amount that we're giving, we're going to support, we give them the allocation. They then indicate what that funding is going to be used as per line item. So in their application, they didn't make any provision or they didn't request any funding for administration. And all the full allocation was then towards supporting athletes in the national development, in the national development teams geared towards fast tracking transformation in sports, participation in international competitions, the first swing program, which is an introduction to a golf program, and the implementation of golf for people with disabilities. Next slide. These are some of the major events that were hosted by Golf RSA. Schools Golf, that introduced both girls and boys in the same tournament, hosting the under 19 age tournaments for both girls and boys in the same tournament, hosting of various interprovincial tournaments. They hosted an under 19 interprovincial tournament, the hosting of the African Golf Amateur Championships, the National Championships, and Women's Golf Tournament. In terms of infrastructure support, Chairperson, due to the nature of golf and the large tracts of land required to establish golf courses, from our own MIG allocation, there's no provision made for golf courses. Our focus has been on basic facilities where we get masses of people playing in the mainly rural areas. So, but golf and its development partner, South African Golf Development Board, they made equipment available to those players proficient enough to participate in tournaments. Furthermore, there was equipment like golf balls, gloves, shoes, clothing is supplied to participants at grassroots level programs. The school sports programs included the hosting of golf tournaments at all age groups up to under 19, an SA under 15 championships, an Ernie Els primary schools championships, and an SA high schools championships. Chairperson, it must be noted that golf is not part of our school sports program. It's not one of the priority codes in the school sports program, but there are young children, young school-going children that belong to golf clubs, and they are then identified to be part of the school sport programs through their clubs. In terms of community sport, Chairperson, this is a program that the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture does in collaboration or in partnership with the Golf Development Board. And the department, in delivering this program, we support the Andrew Mlangeni Golf Development Chapter in an effort to provide opportunities for young people to play golf. I think we all know that Andrew Mlangeni was indeed an embodiment of the whole concept of lifelong participation in sport. At the age of 92, he was still playing golf off a handicap 16, and he motivated youth of South Africa to take sport seriously and play with passion. So through the golf development partner, and in partnership with the Andrew and June Mlangeni Foundation, the programs reach approximately 2,600 participants in all provinces in the country. The participants are coached by accredited coaches weekly, and access to formalized golf through the club membership is arranged for participants with higher proficiency. Chairperson, that's the end of the overview by the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Sumaya, for that overview of the annual performance plan of Golf South African Association. I will give over now to the South African Golf Association on the 2023-24 annual report, progress made on the implementation of the transformation charter with a focus on the 23 Nedbank Golf Challenges. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Grant Hepburn speaking, CEO of Golf RSA and the South African Golf Development Board. Is it possible for me to share my screen?
Yes, Grant, I have you on your right to share. You can share from your side.
Thank you. I'd like to bring up a presentation.
Thank you.
All right, good morning, everyone. I'd like to just run through a presentation, seeing as this is the first opportunity we've had to talk to the Portfolio Committee. I think if I can give a general overview of how golf is structured in the country, just so that it's easier for everyone to understand, and then I'll run through into the transformation progress, etc., and finishing with the report related to the Nedbank challenge and how we'd like to deal with that. So essentially, the structure of golf is internationally, there's an International Golf Federation which deals with the Olympics, and then the Royal and Ancient is the governing body of golf, which deals with the rules of golf and the governance of golf on an international stage. Locally in South Africa, Golf for SA is a federation which combines the South African Golf Association and Women's Golf South Africa. And under our umbrella, we have the South African Disabled Golf Association as well as the South African Golf Development Board. And those two entities are responsible for grassroots development amongst the disadvantaged and for transformation and development. A separate entity, but work very closely with us, for the Sunshine Tour, and Thomas Apt is on this call as the CEO. They're a membership organization. They deal with the professional events that you see on television, and that's the professional players in the country. The PGA of South Africa, this is a membership organization, and essentially they are responsible for the training of coaches in the country and the governing of those golf coaches. And then KAMASA, which stands for the Club Managers Association of South Africa. These are all the club managers. It's the entity that looks after the club managers that run the golf clubs in the country. And then below that, we have the golf facilities. There are 206 18-hole golf facilities in the country, 217 9-hole golf facilities, and 41 practice facilities. And there's over 40,000 staff employed at those facilities around the country. And as Sumaya mentioned earlier, many of those staff are from the vulnerable communities, and that's why it was so important to have the amazing support that we got from government and the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture during the pandemic, and the support that we got for those people being able to open up golf, get the clubs playing again, so that people could return to employment, and also for the tremendous support we got financially for the caddies around the country. We're very grateful for that. Thank you. Next is the structure of Golf RSA, and there you see as the umbrella body underneath the South African Golf Association, which for over 100 years was the Federation of Golf, along with Women's Golf South Africa, also a body that's been around for over 100 years. So that amalgamation of those two bodies formed Golf RSA. And then as the founding members, we invited in South African Golf Development Board, which has been in existence for 22 years, as well as South African Disabled Golf Association, which has been in existence for 22 years. Those entities are run with their own funding. There is contribution from Golf RSA, but they look for their own sponsors and their own funding. They have their own staff and are only involved in the development of the game amongst the disadvantaged and amongst the disabled, disadvantaged youth of South Africa. So I think that we are relatively unique in that aspect, that we have these two entities whose sole purpose is to develop and transform the game on our behalf. So I've mentioned that Golf RSA is the governing body. There are over 460 golf clubs. I might skip through some of these slides in the interest of saving time, because some of it might be a little bit repetitive. Our responsibilities as Golf RSA are to grow the game for all communities in South Africa. We work across the full spectrum of golf development. We provide support services to member clubs, maintaining a uniform system of handicapping, administering and applying the rules of golf. We're providing championships and competitions for all ages. That's really from very young age all the way through to senior golfers in their 60s and 70s. And we identify developing and develop the country's most talented amateur golfers, with very top players joining our elite national squads for specialized training and playing opportunities around the world. The Sunshine Tour, this is a major golf tour with a full playing schedule and co-sanctioned tournaments of the European Challenge Tour and the DP World Tour. Those are the international entities that run professional golf around the world, and we will be talking a little bit later about that. I'll hand over to Thomas to do that.
There's an international series of tournaments within Saharan Africa and the Indian Ocean Islands. And on the development side, the Sunshine Tour takes us very serious as well. We have a Big Easy Tour in South Africa, which is especially aimed at the development of players, the Blue Label Development Tour, and the Road to Vuzi Ngobeni Tour. So all of those are for disadvantaged players with a transformation background. There's a major women's tour called the Sunshine Ladies Tour that also falls under the entity of the Sunshine Tour. And there's a development squad, which is a professional development squad called the Papua Segulum class. And Thomas will update us on the number of players in there, but I think it's close to 50 players in that squad. A partnership with the PGA South Africa and Golf RSA is very important to the Sunshine Tour. We work very closely with them on various projects, and in fact, they donate a significant amount of funding to our development projects throughout the year on a yearly basis. And a partnership with the South African Golf Development Board is really very important to what we do. I will skip through some of the details here because it's a little bit repetitive. And Thomas can perhaps elaborate on the development squad called the Papus Segulum squad later on. The South African Golf Development Board falls under the auspices of Golf RSA. As I said earlier, it's been operating for 22 years. It's the official vehicle of grassroots golf development in South Africa. On a yearly basis, we have close to 2,300 children on the program, sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on the year. And the program incorporates life skills, learning, as well as obviously developing champions as much as we can. We have 72 staff across Africa, with 90% of those staff from disadvantaged communities. So we look to train coaches in the disadvantaged communities to teach the youngsters in these programs. The PGA of South Africa is involved with the Golf Development Board. And at the moment we have 7 PGA professionals and 3 registered apprentices employed around the country in that role. The SA Golf Development Board is present in all 9 provinces. It's a nationwide program. It has been for over 20 years. There are 70 chapters currently with coaching programs nationwide. And in most of those chapters, there's probably 40 or 50 youngsters per chapter. And there are feeding schemes attached to some of these projects as required. South African Disabled Golf Association has also been around for 22 years. It was established shortly after the Golf Development Board. It has 20 staff, which is managers and coaches around the country, mostly from poor communities and many that are disabled themselves. There's 2 disabled registered apprentices within the PGA of South Africa. There are 23 projects around South Africa and over 800 disabled children in this program. The program consists of playing golf as well as feeding schemes, and there's an average of 50 programs a week. The PGA of South Africa, also a very important entity for us, especially from a coaching perspective. There's 695 full members and 99 registered apprentices with the PGA of South Africa. There's a 3-year diploma qualification registered with Katsita and Saka. And PGA professionals are employed in every facet of the golf industry. So that'll be club managers, golf operations, such as directors of golf at clubs, coaching and teaching, on-course and off-course retail equipment, as well as suppliers of golf equipment. The Club Management Association of South Africa is the representative body for the recreation and sports club sector in South Africa. There's over 140 clubs that have premium membership to this, but all 400 odd golf clubs in the country have access to basic information and best practice from the Club Management Association of South Africa. And they do a lot of work with Golf RSA, especially in terms of our training programs and educational programs that we run. So the Club Management Association focuses on the development of club employees and provides members with access to information on international and local best practice, material and methods, access to all current information and trends in the sector, access to and education on all legislative requirements pertaining to the club industry, ongoing professional development for employees, international benchmarking, club management development through internationally recognized qualifications, and development of previously disadvantaged employees through the Club Management Association and Foundation. Excuse me. The transformation charter of Gulf RSA, it has been circulated. I will go through it now. It's a pretty comprehensive and long document, so I may skip through some of the pages and get to the real meat of it. The introduction is that there's a widespread and common understanding and agreement by all stakeholders that Gulf in South Africa must be transformed. Gulf RSA is the mandated custodian of the transformation charter in South Africa, and thus recognizes the catalyst and driving force to get all stakeholders united in common programs, such as capacity building, development, etc., in order to achieve the transformation objectives. It is envisaged that collective buy-in and alignment of this charter be adopted and embraced by all stakeholders in the golfing fraternity. All stakeholders must be active participants in the implementation, control, and monitoring of the transformation charter. And the pledge is that we, the golfing community of South Africa, pledge our support to this transformation charter and will strive to consciously, through an ongoing and planned process, create conditions and opportunities that will continue to ensure the inclusion of all South Africans in a meaningful participation, both socially and competitively, in the game of golf. We recognize that great strides have been made in addressing inequality in the golf industry, but inequality still exists for those from disadvantaged backgrounds. To be equal, everyone should get the same opportunities, irrespective of their success or failure. To be equitable, everyone should get what they need to be justifiably successful. Here we have a diagram of equality versus equity, and not all things that are equal are fair, and not all things that are fair are equal. To be equal, everyone gets the same, irrespective of their success or failure. And equity is to be equitable, everyone gets what they need to be justifiably successful. Equality is everyone getting a pair of shoes. Diversity is everyone getting a different type of shoe. Equity is everyone getting a pair of shoes that fits. Acceptance is understanding we all wear different kinds of shoes, and belonging is wearing the shoes that you want without judgment or fear of judgment. As stakeholders, we pledge to adopt this charter and its goals of founding principles and continuing to transfer golf in South Africa, communicate the five-year targets to our members and partners to monitor the progress of our members in achieving these goals, to holistically include but not limited to the delivery of the sport of golf, to use golf to contribute toward attaining social cohesion in South Africa, to encourage and lead stakeholders along the transformation development journey, and ensure that development strategies align with the objectives of this transformation charters. I'm going to skip through to a little more of it, of the Sin Recreation of South Africa's transformation charter describes the establishment of a sporting system that has a focus on the principles of human capital development, equitable resource distribution, elimination of all inequalities in delivery, and creation of opportunities to play sport, increased access to participation opportunities, skill and capability development at all levels and in all areas of activity, greater community involvement through new sport infrastructure, development, empowerment of the individual, respect for each other, fair and just behavior, innovation to continue to give South Africa competitive edge in world sport, and good governance. Our definition of transformation is the ongoing and planned process of creating conditions and opportunities that will ensure the inclusion of all South Africans in the meaningful participation, both socially and competitively, in the game of golf in South Africa and the world, as well as inclusive administration and employment within the industry.
Okay.
I'm going to skip through to the action plan for 2023 to 2027 and highlight some of the key objectives here. So the priority is transforming and growing golf and enhancing participation to facilitate the process for new participants' entry into the game and retaining the existing base. So action one is Gulf RSA to prioritize sectors of the community to grow golf and enhance mass participation with the necessary product offerings, such as social membership programs and women in golf. The target is the implementation of social golfer programs, as well as a Flexi Club and Golf Sixes project. So just to elaborate, a social golfer program would allow people from all communities to get a handicap in golf without necessarily having to join a golf club. At the moment, the way it works is in order to get a handicap, one has to join a golf club, which is not always ideal. So we are in the middle of a project now where we will offer handicaps to people at a reduced cost, where they don't actually have to join a golf club to get those handicaps. So we hope to be implementing this by January 2024, and that will be done by Golf RSA as well as all of the unions and the Handicap Network Africa entity that we use to distribute handicaps. That's intended to establish coaching and playing programs for previously disadvantaged individuals nationwide. The target is to have all 14 golf unions with at least 50 projects or chapters nationwide. This will be done by Golf RSA, the Golf Unions, and the South African Golf Development Board. In terms of by when, this is completed and ongoing. We've been doing this for 22 years. And the resources are the Golf RSA, the unions, South African Golf Development Board, the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, and Lotto. Action 3 is to establish coaching and playing programs for previously disadvantaged disabled individuals. Target is all 14 golf unions in all 9 provinces, at least 10 projects or schools nationwide, and by whom? Through Golf RSA, the unions, and the Golf Development Board, the Disabled Golf Association. By when? This is completed and ongoing. It's been happening for 22 years, and we actually have up to 50 projects running in that disabled entity. So the resources are Golf RSA, the unions, the South African Disabled Golf Association, the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, as well as Lotto. And Action 4 is to provide platforms that will enhance the reach of Golf RSA national federations to all levels of golfers. We have projects such as the Champion of Champions, as well as the Caddy Champion of Champions. This recognizes individuals right across the country of all ages and of all levels that play in regional tournaments, and which culminates in a final that we have once a year for all participants. And that has been in place since the year 2018. Another key action is to formalize a strategy to grow golf participation in the sport, such as Golf Sixes. The target is golf clubs in all regions by December 2023. This is an ongoing project. The resources are Golf RSA and the international governing body called the RNA. So that is a lot of where our funding is coming from. And the idea here is to create different versions of golf. Instead of playing 18 holes, you can play 6 holes with relaxed rules, relaxed dress etiquette. And these projects are busy being implemented as we speak. Action 6 is to utilize ambassador roles to promote golf to young people and families. 10 ambassadors from various sports or business sectors are being identified as we speak. And I think the wonderful thing about golf is that so many of our heroes on the world platform, whether it's rugby or cricket or football or netball, so many of those people play golf. And we would love to have 10 of them at least to be ambassadors for golf. So we are in discussions with some really fantastic people that are well known, not only on the South African stage, but on the world stage for their sporting prowess. And that is a project that we're busy with at the moment. The action plans continue capacity development to nurture, develop, and encourage previously disadvantaged individuals to serve on the union executives and committees. So I think what's really important to understand here is that all golf clubs, as well as all golf unions, as well as the executive of the South African Golf Association, the executive of Women's Golf South Africa, the boards of Golf RSA, the boards of the Sunshine Tour, the boards of the Golf Development Board and the South African Golf Disabled Golf Association. All of those are voluntary positions. There is no funding paid out to any of those board members. So it's completely voluntary right from club level all the way through to national level. What we commit to doing is to continue building this diverse and voluntary committees that represent cohesion and unity, This happens at clubs, golf unions, as well as at the national level. And the resources at clubs are the managers and club committees and the golf unions. At a provincial level, it's the golf unions and the clubs. And then at a national level, golf RSA and the club managers, the Department of Sport and LOTTA. So what's key to this whole community is that it's fully inclusive. Anyone can volunteer. There's a pathway that is communicated at the clubs to allow anyone that's a club member to put up their hand and be voted into these committees. From a club level, you then are able to put yourself forward to be voted onto a provincial committee and from there onto the national committees and the national boards. That is, I think, a very important part of what golf does in this country. So we're very grateful to all the volunteers that serve on those committees and boards for us. Continuing here, gender equality and balance to ensure that gender demographics are promoted. The key actions are the amalgamation of men and women's golf at a national level. This was completed in 2016 by the South African Golf Association and Women's Golf South Africa. The amalgamation of men and women's golf at union level, all 14 golf unions is the target. At the moment, 8 golf unions have already amalgamated. And by January 2025, the other 6 golf unions will be amalgamated as well. We'd like to create specialized programs to encourage more women and girls to play golf and work in the golf industry. We're busy implementing a women's leadership program as well as women's business leagues in golf at the moment. That will be done by Golf RSA, the golf unions, and Women's Golf South Africa. This will be completed by March 2024, and the resources are the unions, clubs, Golf RSA, and the RNA. A priority in terms of our funding is to allocate at least 30% of Golf RSA's affiliation fees to transformation and development projects according to action plans by the Development Levy, South African Golf Development Board funding, and Disabled Golf funding. So the key actions is an allocation of a development levy within Golf RSA affiliation fees. In 2018, just so everyone understands, the majority of funding for Golf RSA comes from the affiliated development levies that are paid by the members of the golf clubs towards the federation. That fee is roughly 200 Rand. 70 Rand of that is a development levy fee, and that 70 Rand goes back fully into the running of development and transformation programs around the country. If you look at the overall budget of golf, amateur golf in the country, that's the overall budget of Golf RSA, the Disabled Golf Association, and the Development Board of Golf. Over 40% of all money spent in amateur golf is spent primarily on transformation and disadvantage programs. in terms of governance, all custodians of the game, good governance must exist, thereby ensuring that the delivery of goals and objectives can be achieved. All unions to annually submit detailed and audited financials, or where applicable, audited financial reports reflecting development funding usage as a separate line item supported by detailed spend analysis. This target is immediate. It's by all the golf unions every year, financial year end, and that is an ongoing project that happens every year. Team selections, national team selections criteria is set out by the National Federation. That has been implemented and ongoing for many years. By the National Federation, it's completed a long time ago. Our criteria is made publicly available so that everyone knows how to make our national teams. And action two is to have international exposure for transformation and development players, particularly through international tournaments into Africa. We just recently finished ascending 6 players to Zimbabwe, where one of our youngsters, Devin Valentine, won the Zimbabwe Junior Open. We had 4 girls that went out there as well who finished very well. Charlotte Millard finished in first place. Fenya Sabata finished in second place, and Leander van Heerden finished in third place in Zimbabwe. So we're very competitive on the world stage. We ensure that our transformation players are exposed at an international level because it's really important for them in terms of that development. And we've just returned from the Egyptian amateur where four of our players participated in the Egyptian amateur. Another priority is to promote representation of previously disadvantaged youngsters through Gulf RSA and Union funded development projects, coaching, skills development and playing projects. The key action is to utilize the SAGDB to implement development projects in all 14 Gulf unions focusing on previously disadvantaged. Focus is on growing participation of previously disadvantaged individuals in mid-amateur tournaments. This has been done at all levels. The target that we have is for 8-player teams to have 2 players of color, 6-player teams to have 1 player of color, and 4-player teams to have a player of color. In the Open Men's Premier IPT, Mid-Amateur and Country Districts Challenge IPT, there's at least 1 player of color in those 4-person teams. All right, so I'm going to skip through to, essentially, I'd like to close that, stop the share. In terms of the request from the Portfolio Committee to elaborate on our transformation success with particular reference to the Nedbank Challenge, I think I'd like to hand over to Thomas App to explain how the Nedbank Challenge fits into the golf landscape in South Africa, because essentially it's an outside entity that runs that tournament. So Thomas, if you don't mind, if I could hand over to you, please.
Thanks, Grant, and thanks again for the committee and Grant for the in-depth analysis of Gulf RSA and the wonderful job that they do in golf in our country. Just to elaborate on the Nedbank Golf Challenge and how that works in the cycle of professional golf in our country. Essentially, the Nedbank Golf Challenge is a DP World Tour event only. So what does that mean? It's an event that is run by the European International Golfing Body. They bring their players to our country and play within our shores at Sun City for 4 days. We as the Sunshine Tour Golf RSA, in an official capacity, do not sanction the event. We partner with them on the event, but we do not sanction the event. They run all the logistics, they run the event, they run the finances all by themselves, and they attract various sponsors within our country to host that particular event. Off the back of that particular event, we have various other golf tournaments in our countries which are officially co-sanctioned with the DP World Tour. That being the Joburg Open, and Bongi Makaba alluded to slightly earlier, is the official promoter of that particular tournament. We have the South African Open. We have the Johnson Workwear Open, the SDC Open. We have the Alfred Dunhill Championship. And these are all events that are officially co-sanctioned by the Sunshine Tour as well as the DP World Tour. And below that level of golf tournament, we're able to call a challenge tour event, and I won't list all of these golf tournaments. I'm just trying to illuminate the fact that the Nedbank Golf Challenge is an event that is solely run by the DP World, and they then focus on their players, their funding, and how they run that event. Grant, is there anything else you would want me to elaborate further on the Nedbank Golf Challenge? Sorry, Grant, I was just saying, is there anything else I should elaborate further on the Nedbank Golf Challenge in terms of how that event is structured and run? You're on mute, Grant.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. Thank you, Thomas. Thomas, from my perspective, I'm happy, but I'd like to pass it back to the chairperson, and perhaps there may be questions from the floor, either for myself or for you, Thomas.
Thank you very much for that presentation of Gulf South Africa. We are now on the, we did hear the overview of the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture and also the presentation of Gulf South African Golf Association. We will have now clarity seeking questions from our members. I note the end of Honorable Mslongo. Note the end of Honorable Zondi, Honorable Mtwetwa, Honorable Joseph, Honorable Malumane, and Honorable Van Dyk. Just note the end. Honorable Mamabolo. Then we have start with our questions. Honorable Mslongo.
Thank you, Chair.
Over to you.
Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have load shedding. I apologize. Chairperson, I welcome the presentation. And I want to congratulate the minister while he's still here on his appointment as a vice president of MINEFP. But nonetheless, Chair, the Gulf South Africa welcome the presentation. I want to note that golf is part of the top six sports that is supported by most populous in South Africa. In other words, it's one of the top six sports or sporting code that is supported and it's famous in South Africa. But there's a question that I ask myself, is part of the top six, what causes them not to transform? And we need more people like Maimane and people like Mo, Givanse, Valentine from different communities, not in the certain areas, but we need them even in the rural areas, so to say. I wanted to find out, because I want to go out, but I'll come back. I wonder if they are aware of this football golf. Who's facilitating football golf? Is it Golf SA or it's some sporting code or any federation that you know of? Because I think in Soweto, there was guys that they wanted to find out. They want to start this football golf. And we must produce it as a sport too, because it's happening in the south, in Sentin and other areas, but not in a rural or in different communities like Soweto, Orlando East, and that far. So I wanted to find out the 2.2 million. I think it's less budget allocated for the development of sports. And I think we have to increase the budget. And the minister is here because you can't do any transformation or any women's golf or any disability golf program if you allocate only 2.2. You can't expect more results because the funding is less. And I'll ask, and I can even put it on my BRRR when we debated, that we need more money to be allocated on sports, but specifically as we're speaking about golf, which is the allocation is less, and I think we must consider to increase the allocation in that. I wanted to find out, Chair, how accessible are public golf facilities around the country? You know, in Soweto, we only have one. I'm from Soweto, I'll speak about Soweto. We have only one golf facility that I'm aware of, and it's private. It's Soweto Golf Club, which is in Pimville. Now, how many facilities do we have? And what is the cost, one golf facility? How much does it cost to maybe establish the golf facility? And not only that, because I think one of the things that we were from Indaba, and we took a resolution and the minister went out that now physical training must be part of the subject or compulsory subject, so to say. Now, how does the department and SALGA or any other entities to promote golf and social cohesion to enhance the economic development, especially in disadvantaged communities like Soweto? What is the status of golf in different schools in South Africa? Are they under Golf SA as an association from school level? And what are the, maybe give me an example in Johannesburg, how many schools are part of Golf SA if there's school sports, especially under golf? For now, Chair, I'll pause it for now and then I'll have a second bite. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mslongo, Honorable Zondi.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the to you and honorable members, to the minister and the department, and also our guest entity, a golf board. Chair, Honorable Mslongo touch on some of my questions, but I will raise them as I prepared them. We welcome the presentation. It's much appreciated, Chair, and we are well informed by the presentation. The first one, Chair, I'll pose to the department and to the minister, to be specific. Minister, in your school sport program that has been launched recently, how are you going to ensure that township schools are assisted to join golf clubs in the nearby credible clubs? If I mean assisted, I mean assisted in terms of awareness, because you can't transport them every day. The second one, Chair, how do you ensure that there is a balance between transformation and infrastructure programs, so as to accommodate the previously disadvantaged areas, such as black townships? I know it's very difficult, Honourable Minister, in terms of affordability and your long-term plan. I know it's difficult, but in your plans, I know you had something to tell us. The third one, Chair, as the golf is played by all ages, how is the department going to assist the participants from the previously disadvantaged communities to shift this code from being an elite sport code to be accommodative to everyone? And Chair, to the board, we acknowledge and appreciate the 40% budget that is spent on previously disadvantaged. That is much appreciated to lend that. However, I have a question based on their financial statement. How can the surplus made assist those participants that are outside the clubs as we speak? And the last one, Chair, on the board again, women in every sports code are regarded as previously disadvantaged because they've just been accommodated in many sports codes just recently. Soccer, netball internationally, but in Africa, they were not accommodated. I mean women participation. So what are your plans to develop them to be made a special case? I'm talking about women.
Thank you very much, Honorable Zondi. Let me welcome two members on the platform. So he wasn't yet joined us while we was busy with our introduction. It's Honorable Mamabolo and Honorable Jafta. You are welcome on the platform. The next speaker will be Honorable Ntswetswa.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to everyone. I must say that I marvel, Minister and DM, at how well sports is organized. And most of the associations and federations are structured in terms of the value chain, targeted stakeholders, and the agenda. A lesson that I wish the creative and cultural sector could learn or could draw a lesson from. I welcome the report, the presentation, Chair. The first question that I want to ask is, I hear that most of the focus is about transformation of the targeted stakeholders. How many Black people are in your management, Golf SA? How many women are in your top management and leadership? How many disabled people are in your leadership or your management? And if you don't have, what is the reason for that? Or rather, what is the cause? The second question is, there is a continued narrative and picture which would be directed to both the ministry and Gulf RSA. There's a continued narrative and picture. I have forever argued, even during my first time, which seeks to pose Black people as needy recipients of help from white people. Let me make an example. When you talk of Africa and its challenges, the picture that is drawn is that of a Black woman standing with a Black girl and a fly on her cheek. And therefore the help, when you talk of help, it is a white woman who is reaching out her hand. And I think this narrative seems to continuously subject Black people into feeling that they are a charitable case. I would like to know, why do we take that approach, Department of Education? Because I've seen even in your presentation, when I look at your presentation, constantly when you talk of good things, it is the picture on your presentation are white. But when you talk of the needy and previously disadvantaged, it is a picture of Black children. Yes, we know that there are white children who are also disadvantaged. The last one is, there is a constant focus towards Western-inspired sporting games. Even in music, we know it's the Western-inspired music that gets support, as opposed to indigenous games such as Ingedo, Umbusha, Umrabaraba, things that we grew up knowing and playing. And I'm asking this question because transformation and social cohesion cannot happen, they can't happen separately. Social cohesion requires cultural exchange programs. White people must learn who we are and what we do or what we did, as much as we are moving towards learning their own sports, their music. We even move into the suburbs to integrate. But the challenge is that the other side is not moving towards us and learning our languages, learning our games, learning our music. So I want to find out why is the focus like that? Thanks, Chief.
Thank you, Honorable Mpetwa. I just wanted to remind members, please, according to time, honorable members, let me straight to our questions and not dwelling around. We still have to join another meeting. And also members have to take the buses to Parliament. So let's be straight to our questions, please. Thank you. The next speaker will be Honorable Joseph.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I suggest that the Chairperson made that point before the EFF speaks. Thank you for the opportunity. Greetings to the Ministry and the senior officials and our entity. thank you for the opportunity and for the presentation. I just want to make a comment before I speak, Chairperson. I think as a golfer myself, and I play this weekend and I'm treasurer of Parliament Golf Club, so I do have an understanding of the industry. I just want to make a comment by saying my experience of golf, it is the sports that is open for charity and allow NGOs to use golf as an income or funding to support their charities. So I must commend the golf clubs across the country for that openness and opportunities for NGOs to raise money through golf. I also want to just point to the department and the ministry about the cultural observatory research that is now open to sports. And I'm sure if golf is asked to present on the input and contribution towards the economy in South Africa, I think we will be surprised. Particularly the Nedbank and Sunshine Golf, but also just people who, as tourists who come or to play golf and also golfers in South Africa. Hence my question, Chairperson, about the 206 18-hole golf courses and 217. I know it's a big sport and it's growing. Would like to know what is the, but they can do it in writing if they don't have the answers here today. What is the actual membership on all these golf clubs around? And also with the development of women or in the transformation in general, the under-19 tournaments, provincial tournaments, the inter-provincial tournaments, Africa and amateur golf. We would like to have numbers. It was good to hear the statements of what is being done under major events, but what is the totals that we are talking in terms of how many feet and heads do we get on these golf courses through these events. I also want to thank the department for their contribution during the COVID-19, particularly the sports caddies, as Ms. Sumaya have mentioned. I think that was very significant through that difficult times. Chairperson, I just want to ask about the infrastructure. What interests me as a golfer, that the sport is growing, and when you book to play, you wait 2 weeks and sometimes find it difficult to get golf days booked and to play. So my question is about the infrastructure. If the membership is growing, I don't know where, and unfortunately golf courses takes a lot of land, and I think that's been maybe a challenge that we have in our country with land for housing and land for development, and that over many, many years golf was seen as a privileged sport, and that many municipalities and governments have given land for golf to the privileged. That fortunately that has changed now, but the question is on infrastructure. I don't know about new golf courses that's been built. I know about golf driving ranges and private golf ranges that goes up. So I don't know how do Golf South Africa and the leadership manage to accommodate all the players if there's no growth in the infrastructure or golf courses. And then I support the questions was raised about the schools, the involvement in the schools. I know there's schools that have clubs that schools play against schools, but it's still at that level seen as then as privilege. And then the affordability of people in the community just to go and play. It's not cheap. It's not a cheap sport. It's not a cheap facility, and it's not cheap equipment to deal with. So I acknowledge that, but I think if golf can maybe have like the open days, you know, of other departments that open their facilities, like they open it to NGOs and schools, maybe they should just have open days for people who want to play golf and then allow people to play. My final question, Chairperson, was around the money. Just what was just a comment on the finance, and I've noted there was no request in the 2021-22 financial year, and that all the money is going to the projects like the capacity development, the golf development, and disabled sports. But I just wanted to know, and I think it's an example here of to all entities how one spent the money on the mandate that is given to the entity, and not so much on the people who must manage the entity. And I think that is our problem in government throughout. Most of the money goes to the staff, the administration, the boards. And I think here's a classical example that this is a voluntary contribution that golfers are making through the structures to grow the sport and for people to play the sport. So I just wanted to know, how does the golf the leadership manage to get a partnership with the private funders or private organizations? What is that relationship, and how important is that to golf? Other words, to have a less dependency on government, which we want eventually, besides the lotto. I think I would just like to hear more about that. Thank you for now, and thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Joseph, Honorable Malumane.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to the Minister, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, delegation from the Department, delegation from Golf SA, our staff members. Good morning. Chair, let me apologize. Early in the morning, I was noted, but I couldn't unmute so that to speak, but now it seems as if I'm fine. Chair, let me also welcome the presentation from the overview of the department and the presentation from Golf SA. Chair, my question, it will be the first question. You know, we're from the school sports in Daba. So my question, it will be to say, in our townships and rural schools, usually when you see the kids playing, they are playing netball and football. I just want to find out to Golf SA that if you can check what are the challenges, because you don't see, especially in the township, that the kids are now is the time that they are playing or is the season. Because usually in January when the schools open, it's athletics. You can see now that it's time for athletics. You can check now it's time for rugby. They are playing rugby. But when it comes to golf, it seems as if there is nothing that is happening. So I just want to check whether do they have those summer or winter school sports championships so that maybe we can follow also. And I just also want to check, when can sports such as golf be exposed to those schools, especially I'm asking the department, so that working with the basic education and the South African Golf Association. And also, why can't the department identify schools that can specialize in golf as an extramural activity and support them accordingly? The other question, it will be based on the Papua Sugolam class. I just want to check whether, how can the department ensure that this program can be well supported and ensure that the country grows the sports of golf? The other one is that I just want to check with Golf SA and the department to say how accessible are public golf facilities around the country and what are the costs involved? How does the Federation ensure that the sport is accessible to those without the financial means? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malumane, Honorable Van Dijk.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you also for the opportunity, the presentations presented to us. It really seems to me as if Golf RSA is actually doing a great job also in creating opportunities as far as possible, even though we know that national federations are grossly underfunded despite having the full responsibility to ensure transformation in sport. My question to the department, when will the department review its funding model to national federations? My question, other question is about the state of golf in schools. Does South African Golf Association work with any schools to ensure that the sport is accessible at foundation level, and if, in which provinces? Are there any township schools that have been adopted in order to expose the sport in historically disadvantaged areas? What is the probability of township schools to participate in events such as the Bernie Els Primary School Championship events? Another question is, what were the reasons for the South African Golf Association not receiving any funding in the 2021-22 financial year? What were the compliance issues that led to the non-funding? And my last question is, how does the Federation monitor transformation, access and inclusivity in the sport? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Van Dijk, Honorable Mamabolo.
Baya tsai ke Mefro Adams. Ke fetse go dumedisa le tona ya tsa dipapadi go gabole se John Tate good enough to the God wa le motlatsi wa gagwe Mendo Tawe Mafu. Re le mogodung ya bogwa mo ya Heritage Month, also greetings to Golf RSA. Yeah, mine is just two appreciations, Honorable Chairperson, not to complain. To say firstly, I mean, we really appreciate the fact that they continue with the legacy of Baba Mulangeni. You know, the manner in which he fought for freedom, the manner in which he fought for his community of Soweto and the black community in particular, to make sure that there is still golf in the nearby. You know, some of us, now I'm from Shiwa, just like Honorable Motlong is from Soweto. The only time he sees golf, he has to go to Johannesburg. The only time when I have to see golf, I must go to Polokwane or Pietermaritzburg golf course or the Rest golf course. And it's very, very, very far. If you are from the villages or township, you have to travel with two or three taxis. So, yeah, I really appreciate the initiative of Baba Mulangeni. It must continue to grow and it must be supported, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister and Department, to make sure that we get our the communities to participate, to see golf and to be interested and to start playing golf, to have access to golf. The manner in which we have access to watch soccer in the local nearby, or netball and so on. But what you need to improve on is to improve on the access for people to have access to golf. Maybe in black communities and so on. Everybody has spoken about that before. Let's make sure. I know it won't be easy. It won't be overnight. Even with rugby, we've been complaining what people can access rugby, can watch cricket and so on. But in the long run, they made sure that they take rugby and cricket to the people. Also, you guys must sometimes take it to the people. But I mean, really appreciate. I heard you speaking about some grants that you are giving to disability or disabled people in South Africa and so on. I mean, we really appreciate such initiatives. Those are very, very good initiatives. So, yeah, Honorable Chair, without being cut by what you call load shedding, let me really appreciate the good work they are doing. They must be supported, man. They must continue to do the great work. especially on this one of Baba Mulanje. This one I will fully emphasize. Baba Mulanje, Andrew Mulanje. So thank you very much, the fourth setter. Good fourth setter, ne? Yeah, bye bye, Dagi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mamabolo. I saw the end of Honorable Sabia.
For the presentation, I would like to say, no,
why are sorry, Master Bia. You are very unclear. We can't hear you clearly. If you can change your position where you sit.
There is a problem. I don't know what is happening today. Do you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Yes. Why has the Federation not been audited by the Eminent Persons Group Transformation Committee? The other one, why does the Federation monitor transformation access and inclusivity in the sports? And the last one, as we are talking about disadvantaged areas, are there any township schools that has been adopted in order to explore the sports in those disadvantaged areas?
Thank you. Thank you, Ma. Let me also have a bite on clarity-seeking questions. Let me also join the other members by welcoming the overview by the department and also the presentation from Golf Association. And I wanted to state that although it differs from what we have, Golf South Africa, they sent us a presentation, but the one that they showed now on the screen differ from what we have received. But nevertheless, we have questions on what was presented to us. It is good to hear the Federation submitted their quarterly reports. Also pleased to hear they accommodated women and persons with disability. Regarding that question was many times raised, but I wanted to emphasize it again regarding the school goal sport, which is not yet part of your programs. We are just from a school sport in Daba. When are you intent to take school sport to participate in your programs? In your presentation, 450 golf clubs. Does it mean through the 9 provinces of the country? And then I need clarity on only 2 disability persons was registered, because you mentioned about over 800 disability children in the program. Are all of them not registered on your programs? And about the school development program, this program is not yet in schools. How will you prioritize golf sport in schools? As we, from a school sport in Daba, it will be important that you will, you may incorporate or include school sport in your programs. And then how do you identify previously disadvantaged individuals? And then how many of these children, especially girls, in disadvantaged communities have earned national colors? If the number is low, why? How much or many cost breakdowns has been allocated to this particular program? I thank you. And then it is now the time for Golf South Africa and the department, if there are questions directed to them, to respond on members' questions. I thank you. I will firstly give to the department if there was questions directly to them. Ms. Maya?
Thank you, Chaplain, if I may start.
Thank you, Minister. You may.
Thank you very much. And thanks very much to members of the Portfolio Committee for their constructive comments and suggestions. I was speaking to officials of the department offline. I think we may need, Chaplain, I'm happy that Golf RSA is here. We may have to convene an urgent meeting with them as a department, especially on the backdrop of a very successful school sport, so that we can discuss some of the recommendations coming out of the school sport in Daba. For example, the issues which have been raised by Honorable Member Zondi on Daba, issues of access and participation are very important. And I think it's a matter that the department will be working with Golf RSA to make sure that following this meeting, we have some meetings. I must also welcome the expressed intention by members of the Portfolio Committee to raise the issue of funding. You'll be pleased to note, Honorable Members, that not only are we considering to review the funding model in terms of different federation and sporting codes, we're also reviewing a funding model for all other projects across the portfolios of the department, whether it's in arts, whether it's in arts and culture, for an example. Because I think there are certain things that we've got to align in terms of the current imperatives and issues that we're experiencing with regards to funding, given the shortcomings and constraints that we have on our fiscus. There was an issue raised by Honorable Mteto, which I thought we should respond to. Why are we spending certain money to what he refers to as Western-inspired codes? I can report to the meeting that the Indigenous Games were introduced in 2001. And all 9 provinces have full program of Indigenous Games. There are districts, there are provinces, there are National Indigenous Games Festival that are held annually. As we speak, in spite of the fact that all these are contributing to, they are making a major contribution to Heritage Month, this year's Indigenous Games annual festival will be held in KwaZulu-Natal from the 24th to the 29th of this month. It will coincide with the Heritage Month in KwaZulu-Natal. I may extend this invite to Honorable Member Mteto to attend those annual Indigenous Games. For example, some of the codes that participate, Morabaraba, Indonga, Dristokis. Some of these have also displayed Indigenous Games at the World Traditional Games Festivals. So there's a lot that has been done around Indigenous Games. There has not been Indigenous Games during and post-COVID. It's the first time that we're beginning to organize that now. So I appreciate the contribution of members, but I do think we would meet with the Golf RSA soon to discuss issues that I think mainly are concerning us too as a department, which concerned members. Mainly for me are issues of access and participation. Thank you very much. I can allow members and officials to respond to other questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Over to the other members. Honorable Sumaya.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm going to go through the questions. I think wherever we can as a department respond, and I think Golf RSA will then also respond. In terms of the issue of golf in the rural areas, I think we have indicated that as a department within our community sport unit, in addition to the funding that we provide to Golf RSA, there's also a developmental initiative through the Andrew Mlangeni Golf Development Chapter. When we started, it was just in, we used to have one event in one province, and now it happens in all 9 provinces. We work very closely with the Golf Development Board and with the Andrew and June Mlangeni Foundation to deliver on this. And it happens, if you look at it, we're saying 2,600, but there are 2,600 on a weekly basis. There are young golfers, young development golfers, young the youth participating or being coached by accredited coaches in golf. So that is what's happening there, Chairperson, in terms of the rural zone. The status of golf in schools, as I've indicated, Chairperson, we have 16 priority codes of sport, and the codes of sport, and I think when we identify them, they were mostly in terms of access, in terms of facilities, in terms of what could take place in the schools, at inter-school, at inter-class, inter-house, inter-school level. And golf was not one of those codes of sport. By the same token, Chairperson, just to respond to another question, why is golf not part of the EPG process? In terms of the EPG, when we started, we identified 19 codes of sport. There are almost 76 recognized sports federations in the country through SASCOC and ourselves in terms of the recognition of sports bodies regulations. So we've identified 19 codes. We are still finalizing and as defining. I know it's a few years now that we've worked with the 19 codes. The idea is for us to increase those 19 codes as part of the EPG. And I think very soon the minister will speak about that as well in terms of the transformation charter, in terms of the EPG. But there is an attempt for us to include other codes of sports. In fact, the codes of sports themselves have come to us to say they want to be part of the EPG process. So that is what we're working on, Chairperson. Chairperson, with regards to the... I'm looking at other questions. I think I've responded to the issue of why golf is not in schools. In terms of access to the public, to golf courses, etc. Chairperson, as I've indicated, we work with the Golf Development Board. And I think the Golf SRSA will speak about the details of other work that the Golf Development Board does. But coming through their programs, we have seen it may not be optimal, it may not be what we would like to see, but there is a steady stream of previously disadvantaged and development golfers coming through the ranks and translating into the high-performance arena. And hence, you would see the initiatives of the Papua Siugulang course. There is accredited training now, and CATSITA is a very important partner to all of us. They're the Education and Training Authority. So we have been also working with CATSITA in terms of accredited training of the coaches, of technical officials, of administrators in sport in general. But golf has specific training that they have accredited, SACWA accredited training with CATSITA as well. And then on the issue of foot golf, yes, foot golf have approached us. It has a very big following. It's growing in leaps and bounds. It's very popular recreationally. But foot golf has approached us. We have directed them to apply for the recognition in terms of the recognition of sports bodies regulations. We are awaiting the completion and the compliance of their submissions. So we are looking at that, but they are already being very, very active in many of the townships and also participating in some of the events already, but they are not yet recognized sports federations. Chairperson, I think let me pause there and allow my colleagues as well to make any other contributions. Mr. Nube, if there's anything you want to respond to as well, please do so now.
Over to her. Or him.
Good morning, Chairperson and the members of the committee. Good morning to Minister and the Deputy Minister and leadership of the department. DDG has covered most of the areas except I think just one area which relates to the 2021-22 funding. At the time of completing the transfers, we still had some documents that were outstanding from the side of just making sure that the compliance requirements are met and we effect the transfer. I think that's about the only question that has not been covered, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mem Sumaya. We have that responses from the department. Can we have now the responses from Gulf South Africa?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll go ahead with some responses. Thank you, everyone, for the questions and also for your interest. I made notes as we went along. My writing's terrible, so I can't always read what I've written, but I'll attempt to answer as many of the questions as I can. So starting off with Honourable Mshlango, firstly, the question on foot golf has been answered. We are aware of them. There's essentially two entities that are running foot golf in the country, so we'll take direction from the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture in terms of how they would like us to engage with them, but we are aware of them and we have had some discussions with both of those entities. Another comment was, you know, how many children are in the game? I think it's interesting to note that in terms of how many children are registered at golf clubs around the country, there's 4,600 children registered at golf clubs around the country. And there's 2,500 registered with the South African Golf Development Board. So the South African Golf Development Board makes up one third of the children in the country, which I think is pretty significant in terms of how many children we allow access to golf. Of those 2,500 children, there's probably 500 of them that we have bought and paid for them to have memberships of golf clubs. And just so you understand the process, once a child gets to a level of being able to participate, which takes quite a long time, quite a lot of coaching, quite a lot of practice because of the nature of the game being quite difficult, once they're able to hold their own on a golf course, we get their membership so that they can participate in tournaments. There was a question around accessibility of golf facilities. I would say that by and large, whether you're talking about 18-hole golf courses, 9-hole golf courses, or practice facilities, golf courses welcome members of the public with open arms. I would say 95% of cases. There's a small number of golf courses that are specific to membership access only, or they are very expensive to access and there's conditions in order to be able to access them. But by and large, at least 95% of our facilities are completely accessible. In terms of the costings, obviously golf, by nature of the sport, is relatively expensive, but there's certainly a scenario where, you have golf clubs that are more expensive than others. Every golf club is like going to a restaurant. Some restaurants are more expensive than others, and the same goes for golf clubs and golf facilities. So if you are a keen golfer, there's definitely a facility probably near you, whether it's a 9-hole course, an 18-hole course, or a practice facility, where you'll be welcomed with open arms, and the pricing ranges from being very affordable to very expensive, and that's just being frank. That's the nature of the game. Going on to questions from Honourable Zondi, how many participants are outside the clubs, and how many are women? I think it's important for us to explain that most of the participants that are on the Golf Development Board and Disabled Golf are outside of the clubs. They come from the schools. They only become club members once they reach a certain level of development. So there's a large portion of these participants that are outside of the club. So it's not like we only deal with players that are in golf clubs. We actively go into the schools and search for youngsters in the schools, get them into the game, develop them to a level where they can participate and play in club competitions, and we get them memberships at the club. So very often the golf clubs donate free memberships to us, but often if it's a struggling golf club and we have the funding, we prefer to try and purchase the membership for the youngsters so they can also support the golf club. The minister spoke about school sports and golf not being one of the school sports, and Sumaya also mentioned this. It would be an amazing advantage for golf if it was recognized as one of the official school sports, because our big challenge is that when we do approach the schools, and there are a few questions around, do we talk to the schools in the townships and the rural areas? We most definitely do, and we have many, many township schools and rural schools in our programs. But because golf is not a recognized school sport, it's very difficult for us to get those schools to agree to participation. So often it takes someone that understands golf or a golfer within the school to recognize the values of the game in order for a school to say yes to us. But very often, once we start those programs, the schools welcome us with open arms, because the nature of golf and the integrity and the rules and the fact that it exposes you to people from all walks of life invariably helps the youngsters with their education and their attendance at school as well. So what tends to happen is that the school teachers and the headmasters really do enjoy golf programs in their schools once we're able to open the door. So not always easy to open those doors, but once we do, it's normally very successful. So we would welcome further discussion with the Honourable Minister and the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture in terms of how we could get golf more recognised and officially established as a school sport. It would be hugely beneficial to us. I welcome the comments from Honourable Joseph in terms of the charity aspect, and he is indeed correct that golf lends itself to being able to raise money for all sorts of charities through golf days at various golf clubs around the country, which welcome these golf days, because it also helps the clubs themselves. You know, the clubs survive on people feet through the door and people paying to play golf. So thank you for those comments. And in terms of how many members there are of golf clubs, affiliated members, which essentially forms registered with golf RSA, but we estimate that in the country there's probably between 450 and 500,000 people that play golf, whether it's twice a year, twice a week. We estimate there's between 450 and 500,000 golfers. And we get those estimates from talking to golf clubs in terms of people that come and play but aren't registered with us, as well as all of the retailers and equipment manufacturers from around the country. The interesting thing that Honourable Joseph brought up is the relationship between what we spend on admin as opposed to operations, and we're very fortunate that in terms of the development of the game, we only spend 16% of our funding on admin, and we spend 84% on operations. We're fortunate in that we see the funding from the Department of Sport as important to us, but also it's a bonus on top of what we already do. We're able to run the basics of golf through the funding of our members, our sponsors, but obviously anytime we can receive funding from the Department of Sport, it's hugely beneficial. And we're in a fortunate position as Golf RSA, the Development Board and Disabled Golf, to be able to spend pretty much all of that money straight on operations and the youngsters and the people in the game that need the support. Honourable Ntetwa asked how many people on the board of Golf RSA. It's 50% black and women, but I think what's important to understand is that those are completely voluntary positions. People have to put their hand up and make themselves available for those positions. We're grateful to all of the people that are in those positions, but in terms of our paid staffing structures, I would say that 80% of our paid staffing structures are black or woman based or PDI. So I think that in that respect, that we are as transformed as we can be at the moment, and obviously it's a continuous process for us to continue down that road of transformation. How is transformation measured in the country? Quite a few people asked that question. We have 9 provinces, but those provinces are divided into 14 golf unions, which allows us to cover the country very significantly. All of those golf unions have committees that monitor the transformation for us, that monitor the number of youngsters being allowed access into the clubs and how many schools are involved in the projects in the different regions, how many youngsters are being selected in the junior teams coming through the ranks all the way through to national level. frankly, we would have more players of color playing in our national teams, but we have an interesting scenario in golf in our country whereby once a player is good enough to play in provincial teams, especially amongst the previously disadvantaged youngsters that we have, many of them turn professional, in our opinion, before they're ready to turn professional. So what happens is we lose them to the professional ranks, often before they've even established themselves as provincial players. So we can only select players to play for the country if they're playing provincial golf and then advance through to the national team. So we've probably had close to a dozen players, men and women, that have done that, but we have close to 100 players, men and women, that have turned professional. So it's a paradox in that the more successful we are, sometimes the less players we actually develop for our national teams. They move on into the professional ranks. There are some more comments here. Let me just see if there's any other things. We're very happy, and the mention has been made of the Andrew Mlangeni Foundation. I think 7 or 8 years ago, the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture called me up personally and asked me to attend a meeting where they asked us to manage the funding and the operations of the Andrew Mlangeni Foundation. That's been an amazing project for us. We're very proud to manage it. It's an ongoing project. It started with probably 100 children, and now there's thousands of kids that are on that program. Pretty much all of the youngsters in our program benefit from the Andrew Mlangeni Foundation project. We run an annual tournament in each and every single province and golf union for these youngsters, and we have ongoing coaching and ongoing golf for them throughout the year. It's not just once a month, it's throughout the year. And those projects are very significant in terms of producing players of color for our teams, provincial teams, club teams, and obviously ultimately our national teams, and then moving on into the professional ranks, which Thomas Apt, the likes of Bondi Makaba enjoy the benefits of. So I think that we're fortunate as a nation that we punch above our weight on the world stage, and much of that is due to the very strong volunteerism that exists in golf, and that's something that is historical. It continues, and we're extremely grateful to all of those people that do that. I may have missed some questions. I hope I haven't. I think there was a question in terms of exact numbers of representation in some of those big tournaments that we have. I made a note of that, and we are happy to distribute those exact numbers because obviously we do have them. So. Thank you, Chairperson. I think that's it from me for now, unless maybe Thomas, if there are any questions Thomas would like to answer, or the Chairperson, if anyone asks, or any other questions, please, we're available.
Thank you, Grant. I think you've succinctly answered all the relevant questions at this point. I don't think I should add. I don't have anything to add. Thank you.
Thank you very much. CEO, for the responses. I saw the hand of Honorable Mtshweta, followed by Honorable Joseph.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me firstly address the issue of Honorable Member responding to me instead of asking questions. As EFF, we are not a sub-political party. We do not take instructions from any party, nor anyone. That is why we have changed the convention way of running the parliament. Having said that, I asked a specific question, Chair, to both RSA. And the specific question was around the management, not the staffing. I don't want to clap the transformation that is happening within the employees, but we had a very specific where affirmative was speaking to specifically the management position, top management position. That's what I want to know. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable. Mr. Redwater, Honorable Joseph.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the second opportunity. And thank you for the responses from the department and the leadership in golf. I just wanted to make a point, Chairperson, on the heroes of golf. Now, there's been many over many years, and we have heard about a few throughout the presentation. So I just wanted to know, because I watch golf and many hours, but it's international games with there's so many spectators. And in golf, in the ordinary day of golf, it's not like watching a game of soccer or going to a game of rugby or any other tennis where there's spectators. Most of the time when the players on the golf course, there's no spectators. The players are there. And of course, it's not just golf. It's like board meetings taking place on a golf course. But the heroes that we need more coverage. That's the point I want to make, Chairperson. Of all what was said throughout the presentations and what the department is doing, somehow we need to invest in TV coverage so that the country can see what is happening through golf as to what we are discussing now. And then just a question, I want to ask, sponsors do the golf throughout the country, the highest levels through all the programs, receive funding, except a lot of receive funding from other government entities or other government departments that they approach with their programs? And then I want, in closing, Chairperson, just want to say what I've picked up and the questions raised by member Slongo and other members about golf in communities. You know, you don't get up one morning and just decide you're going to play golf. You know, that's the odd. What I've picked up is golf is developed through the golf driving range, the practice areas, particularly where it is linked with social facilities, where the family can come. The children can play, there's music, and all the ladies or the men can play their golf. And from there, the sports grow to focus golf and to membership golf. So I want to make a request to the leadership in golf that we may not have all the land to develop golf mat of debate. But there should be land available to develop golf, not just as a sport, but as a social interaction for all families to come to that venue and be part of the golfing family, if I can put it that way. That is what I think is the solution also going forward. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Joseph, for your second bite. Honorable Mslongo, it's now your turn.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the opportunity. Chair, I wonder if the minister is still here. I wanted to challenge the minister in a sense that I think EPG is not working. You can't have a system where I give myself a target and I don't even achieve that target. And I chose that EPG is not working. For sporting codes, they give themselves targets and they don't even achieve those targets for transformation. And I think we have to look into another mechanism how to measure the transformation, because the EPG process is not working. And I put it to the minister, let's consider something else, because sporting codes, they give themselves targets and they don't even achieve those targets. Now it shows that this thing is not working. I wanted to raise that concern because we cannot attain transformation the way we do things. And we support that transformation. It's needed and it's the key. But one of the things that we must measure, transformation without even resources, you cannot attain that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Maslongo, for that input of you and but also a concern. I saw the hand of Bongi Mokaba. I don't know who is he presenting. Please identify yourself, Bongi.
Chairperson, good morning. Good morning, excuse me. My name is Bongi Mokaba. I work for the city of Johannesburg. I am the promoter of the Joburg Open, one of the few co-sanctioned international golf tournaments in the country. I serve in the Sunshine Tour Transformation Board, and that's why I was invited to the meeting. And I would like to express my apologies for connecting late. I had challenges with connectivity earlier. Chairperson, if you can allow me to just respond and correct one point that was raised by Honorable Mflongo, referring to the Soweto Country Club. I just want to put it on record that the Soweto Country Club is not privately owned. It is a facility owned by the city of Johannesburg. The golf course is located in two pieces of land, which are adjacent to each other. There's dispute on the site where the clubhouse is, but where the golf course is, there is no problem. And that dispute is being currently managed by the city. And there was a point on the funding of this tournament that was raised. The city of Johannesburg is one of the few remaining municipalities that had raised their hands to provide support to international golf tournaments, looking at how golf contributes to the economy of the country, including tourism, employment opportunities as such. And as a result, we have been running the Joburg Open as the city for 16 years now. November this year, 2023, would be year 17 that this tournament has been running. And it includes local and South African and international players. We also make provision for players that come from the Papasigalam class, for them to be able to have fair opportunities to participate in this tournament. Those are the few points that I need to clarify. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bongi Mokaba. And your apologies are accepted for being joining the meeting late. Honorable Mslongo, is it a follow-up on what was responded now, or is it a new?
No, I think it's a follow-up on what Mam Bongi Mokaba is saying.
Okay, then you can continue, but please don't let us debate on this issue. You can continue.
Now, if you're saying I mustn't debate, it's fine, Chairperson, because I wanted to put it to her that luckily she's saying there's a dispute. Now, it shows that it's a privately owned, but nonetheless, there was a petition sent to Parliament on this issue. Maybe Mam was saying, she talked to her that she's not aware. How did you deal with the land issue and the way things are? But nonetheless, let me lower my hands, Chair, for now, because you don't want me to debate it. I respect that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Mslongo. And Ms. Mbongi, please lower her hand. Thank you. Honorable Mslongo also. In the absence of no questions, there was a round for second questions, which was already done. Honorable Minister, if you are still there, anything from your side?
No, nothing, Chair. Thanks very much. I think the meeting was very constructive and very fruitful.
Thank you so much. Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you so much, Chair. No, thank you so much, Chair. Nothing, I think Minister has covered me well. Most of the issues that have been raised in the meeting, we will take them up in the meeting that the Minister is proposing that we must have with the Federation. Very constructive issues that have come up after the course of this meeting, which then we will take up and discuss further. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. We have come now to the end of the questions raised by members. We have we get some responses on that questions, as the Deputy Minister has indicated that the department and Gold South African will look into matters that was raised and take it up thereafter. So we really
point of exigency, Chair. My question was not answered. Wanted to hear the view of the Minister regarding EPGs not working, and I've supported that. And I wanted to find out, it's more than 10 years with this EPG which is not working. As I've stated that Sporting Code, they give themselves targets and those targets are not attained. Now, how can you measure yourself that? What mechanism can you use? And I'm saying the mechanism or the barometer that we're using is not working, and that's why we won't be able to attain transformation.
Point taken, Minister or Deputy Minister. Is there any response waiting? Mr. Mtetwa, I will come back to you.
Chair, we've noted what Mr. Mfongo has said. I don't think he wanted us to respond to that issue here and now, but I think he was saying the department and the ministry must note and go and reflect on that. We will come back after we had reflected on it. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, DM, for that responses. Honorable Mtetwa.
Thank you, Chair. My question was not answered. I asked a specific question around the issue of top management. How many black people are represented there? Women, these people with disability, first, Chair.
Thank you. To the CEO, I think that question was directed to them.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to answer. In terms of top management positions, previously disadvantaged and women, 65%, between 65 and 67%.
Thank you, CEO. The responses of the CEO on the question of Honorable Mtetwa. Honorable members, you know most what is the procedures. If there is any questions that you still have to raise, you can do it in writing to to the Golf Association of South Africa. And by saying this, I wanted to thank the Federation for coming to attend this meeting, giving clarity to our questions and to what the members have raised. They have to look into that matter. And please, we are crying on the issue of school sports so that you can continue with your programs, but as well give attention to the transformation charter and also to school sports. As we indicated, that was highly discussed in the Indaba school Indaba that we have attended last week. To the department also, thank you very much to department also giving questions regarding what have the committee have raised. And we thank you, continue Golf Association, to develop our children, our women and men out there in South Africa, make us proud to give, to take them, to take part in the national but also international games if they are allowed and qualified to take part in that games. You are now released, a department. Thank you, Minister and Deputy Minister, for you also who have joined through your schedule, busy schedule, to attend these committee meetings. I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Members, we are staying behind because there are issues to resolve on our agenda. Did all of them leave? Thank you. On the agenda is our consideration and adoption of the draft fourth quarterly performance report of the of DSEC. Can we please have the report reflect on the screen?
Good morning, honourable members.
Good morning. Good morning. Is it Fiona?
Yes, it's me. Thank you, Chairperson, Acting Chairperson. I just wanted to make a couple of comments just before we scroll down through the report. As Chairperson has indicated, this is a draft report and it's in fulfillment of the BRRR process to ensure that the committee maintains oversight over the executive. The report provides an overview of the first to third quarters financial and non-financial performance, and then looks a bit more into detail into the fourth quarter, which we considered last week, or the week before rather. And then just to scroll down a bit to the observations and responses, and just to note that these are based on the discussions that took place within the committee meeting. And the I'm just trying to get to that point. Okay, there's the highlights. Here we go. That's, those are the committee observations and then the responses from the department. And then from those discussions, I've drafted some recommendations that the members are encouraged to comment on, and that's about it. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honorable, sorry, Fiona. Members, there is the draft of the fourth quarterly performance report. If you have any questions about the report, you can raise it. I saw the hand of Honorable Muslongo.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I wanted to just to add, and we commend the researcher to doing her work in supporting us. But I want to add some points. One of the points that we must review EPG, I think it must be noted on the report. I've been saying this for some time now today. Both the minister and the deputy are saying they'll think about it or they'll come back to us. I think it must be noted that we must come with a new system that will make transformation work in sports, because the barometer that we are using, it's not working. It's not assisting for a transformation. Can it be added on the report?
Fiona, is it allowed to be added?
Yes, Chairperson, this is the committee's report, so I will add that. Thanks, Honourable Mushlungu, for that suggestion.
Thank you, Honourable Mushlungu. In the absence of no hands, can we move for the adoption of the draft fourth quarterly report?
Chairperson?
Yes? Yes.
Yeah, we reserve our rights for now. I think we know the procedure of the report. We reserve our rights for now. Thank you.
Reserve your rights.
Yebo.
On the report. Okay, let me just write it down. I saw the end of Honorable Malumane.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I was just trying to raise my hand before you asked the question about the issue about the addition that Honorable Mhlongo was making. I wanted to accept the report as it was presented without the addition of Honorable Mhlongo, that to consider the usefulness of the, I think Fiona is still maybe writing that thing, because this is what was discussed and this is what is discussed today. The proposal is today's proposal. And I think it was a suggestion by Mhlongo to the department, and we also didn't speak about that issue. Because I also wanted to say maybe the department will report back, because we still need more information on it. So without the addition, I'm supporting the report without the addition. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Alumane. Honorable Zondi.
Yes, Chair. Chair, I think I raised my hand. I didn't know that Honorable Malumane has raised her hand again. Honorable Mhlongo is acting in the report, and they are reluctant to support it. How is that? You want the report to carry on, but you don't support it. You can't adopt it, but you want your addition. I think she is contradiction. But I wanted to support Honorable Maroman to adopt the report as it is presented, with no addition.
Honorable Sabia, thank you. Honorable Zondi.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is. Thank you.
Honorable Sabia, also second on the report. I hands can now be raised. Let me see the hand of Honorable Mhlongo, followed by what is Mtwetwa doing? Honorable Mtwetwa, did you raise your hand or do you lower your hand?
I did raise my hand, Chair, but I'm covered by the other two members that we can add something that was discussed today on a report of another discussion. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Honorable Mhlongo, your view?
I think I'm as workshop members. This discussion for today is not for today, and this report is not discussion for today. I think we are missing the point. This is our report, fourth quarter report, and we are allowed as members to add or to delete anything that you don't want on the report. Now, in other words, you are saying the report is fine. You did not even go through. It's our report. It's not today's discussion. Now, I'm saying for the past quarter, EPG did not even work. In fact, the entire 10 years, EPG did not work, and it's not working. And we have to come with a new mechanism how to make sure that transformation comes in. And one of the things to workshop the members is, well, not because we're discussing it today. This is a fourth quarter report. Did not discuss a fourth quarter report. Maybe I must workshop members. And I'm allowed to say, reserve my rights, it's either when it goes to parliament, I'll support it or not. Remember, I must get a blessing from my caucus to say support the report or not. I'm not representing myself. I'm representing a party. Thank you very much.
And so do the others. I thank you very much, members. I will stop here now, and I don't want us to debate on this issue. Members, can you please lower your hands? Please lower your hands, because we are going into a debate whereby there was adoption of there was a proposal that we adopt the report, and there was also a seconded. But we will do it in this manner that we did ask the researcher if we can edit those issues that Honorable Ms. Longo has alluded to. So there is a mover and there is a seconder. I thank you. Honorable Sabia, did you have an issue?
Yes, Chair. Yes, no one can tell us that he is one of us. No one, because we are looking at you.
I can't hear Honorable Sabia.
We can't hear you, Honorable Sabia. But what we are saying, the researcher indicated that there can be adding. So we will continue with the adding, and then we also noted the reserve of Honorable.
Chair.
Honorable, thank you. I noted you, Honorable Malumane.
Yes, Chair. We supported the report as it was presented without the addition. So the addition must be out. We don't support the issue of addition. We never said with addition. If there was someone who was supporting Honorable Mhlongo, there was no one supported the addition of Honorable Mhlongo. All of us, we said we support and second the report as it was presented. So if we are closing the matter, Chair, close it as if there was a supporter, there was a proposal, and the proposal was rejected, that on the addition of Honorable Mhlongo. That's what I wanted to say, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Masabia. We can't hear you clearly, but continue.
Chaperson, the issue was also that we are not in our shop. We are talking about our recommendations. So now no one can come and tell us that we are being workshopped now. No, Chaperson. It can't be. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sabia. Honorable Van Dijk.
Chairperson, I support Honorable Mhlongo's proposal and also the right to make additional. You can comment on your report or the proposal that is put before us. It can never be that we cannot have an opinion. So I support him that he has the right to add on, even though it doesn't go through as a collective because of the majority vote. You still have the right to give your input.
Thank you, Honorable Van Dijk, Honorable Mhlongo and Mthethwa. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think when I'm saying I workshop the members, they think we don't have a right to comment. Fiona stated clearly that this is our report, and it's not a report for today's meeting.
Order, Chairperson. We know that we must do things. Order, Chair. No, we know, but we must agree, all of us, on the additions. But if we don't agree on certain additions, even myself, I can make an addition if the addition is not supported on the report. That's it. It's not about issues that we don't know that there must be something. There must be corrections and additions in this report. That is why it is presented to us as a committee. This is our report. And we know. We don't need to be workshopped. We know and we do understand. That is why I raised my hand and said, I support the report as it was presented before the addition of Honorable. That's why. Thank you, Chair.
Can you hear me, Honorable Malumane?
Because I was still, what is the point of order? Because I was still speaking.
Honorable Mthethwa?
What is the point of order? I wanted to find out. I was still speaking. I'm not done.
Okay. I was off for the minute. Honorable Nsongo?
I'm saying, what is the point of order that Honorable, who is emotionally... Chair, point of order. I'm still speaking. What was the point of order? I'm asking, must I continue or you sustain the point of order? Because what is the point of order while I'm speaking? I'm still speaking. They have a bite. I'm having a bite. And I've got a right to contribute to the report. And for information, the rule even allow us to have a minority report. If this majority rule, they usually just dictate to say we don't support what comes from Honorable Song or from the DA. We have a minority, the rules allows us, if this report you are saying my contribution is not allowed, the minister must say that you guys are saying EPG is working. In other words, you are saying EPG is working. It must be minuted to say, no, Honorable Song is the one who says EPG is not working. We as a committee say EPG is working. If it can be like that, I don't have a problem with that because I'm allowed as an individual to contribute to a report. And it's not a report because I'm raising this EPG thing today. The EPG has been with us for more than 10 years. And this EPG is not working. On the fourth quarter report, I'm proposing that we put the wording to say the department must review the EPG report, how to measure all the sporting code. It's what I'm adding on the report, and I'm allowed to do so. It's not because I'm from a minority. In other words, the system allows us to have a minority report. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Longa. Noted your view on the report. I will give only to the two members' hands which are raised, Honorable Mthethwa and Zondi.
Thank you, Chair. EFF, I wish to also say we reserve the right. Thanks, Chair.
Oh, I thought you said we don't have to add anything.
Please don't talk to me, member.
Thank you for you two, for debating sidelines on the issue. Honorable Zondi.
Yeah, Chair, I thought you will protect us from Honorable Song. We can't be workshopped by a member that is adding to a report that is not supporting. You can't. We can't be absorbed by that confused person. You are adding to a report that you are not going to adopt. What is that? And you allow that person to say he's workshopping us. No, Chair. You can't be undermined like that.
Thank you. I'm closing the matter now.
Point of order, Chair. Point of order.
Honorable Msongo.
Yeah, I don't want to debate this, but when I didn't say I'm supporting or rejecting the report, maybe I must hear Mr. Zondi. When you say you reserve a right, you're not sure you're going to support or not supporting because it must go to caucus. I didn't say I reject the report. I think I must workshop you on the definition of to reserve a right. Thank you.
Aye. Chairperson. Chairperson. We support the corrections of the report, corrections, before we adopt it. But we didn't make any corrections.
When did you do any correction?
I, Honorable Nslongo, I didn't give you...
Addition?
I, Honorable Nslongo? Honorable Nslongo? No. Members? I think we have give our, we did speak and debate on this issue, and there was proposals on the issue,
we noted the reserve of rights from the DA and also from the EFF. There was proposals to adopt the report and there was a second on the report. So I close on the matter. The report was adopted and seconded.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Members, let me thank you very much for your contribution to this meeting of today. Thank you for your deliberation on the presentations also that was done in today's meeting from DSEC and also from the South African Golf Association. Thank you so much, and the meeting is adjourned.
Well, thank you, Mevrouw Adam.
Bye,
voorzitter.
Bye, voorzitter.
My pleasure. Thank you.